Two Kinds of Concentration, or Samadhi. Suan Santitam, November 12, 2010.
It is really a shame if we don't develop the wisdom to see the nature of reality. Most people in this world are lost, entranced by, and perpetually under the influence of the defilements such as greed, anger, and ignorance. We spend our lives trying to get more of what we want and pushing away what we don't want. We are completely deluded about the natural way of things. In every moment that we are not aware of what the body or mind is doing, we are under the spell of the defilements. That is, we are not mindful. Many people have good concentration, but concentration isn't always a virtuous thing. Mindfulness and wisdom are always virtuous. We need mindfulness to bring about wisdom, and we need wisdom to liberate us from suffering. We need to have the mindfulness that sees the arising and falling of physical and mental phenomena. Mindfulness knows what arises, and wisdom sees the characteristics of what arises. Specifically, wisdom sees at least one of the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So mindfulness knows what arises, and wisdom understands the truth that what has arisen is impermanent, does not persist, and is beyond control. One who is able to see clearly and fully that whatever arises also falls away has reached the first stage of enlightenment, stream entry, sotapanna. He or she sees that there is no self in all of this. It is possible, however, to have mindfulness but not develop vipassana wisdom. Many people believe they are watching their minds but are really holding their minds still. There is mindfulness watching the mind, but the mind is left motionless and is not able to show its true characteristics. The mind actually arises and falls each moment, just as other phenomena do. This characteristic of arising and falling is called anicca. If the mind is good, bad, happy, or sad, each only lasts a short time. This is dukkha. Things arise and fall out of their own cause and are not under our power. This is anatta. Anatta does not mean that nothing exists at all. This is a wrong understanding. Anatta means that something arises out of its cause and not because we want it to. There is no control. Attempts at controlling the mind will not result in wisdom. Wisdom arises when there is concentration, or samadhi. Formally put, samadhi is the proximate cause for wisdom. However, samadhi is of two kinds, and only the second one is conducive to wisdom. The first kind of samadhi is called object examination. This is when there is just one object of attention, and the mind sticks to this object, and it is rendered still. The mind is very focused and peaceful in this state. An example is meditation on breathing. The mind moves down into the breath and clings to it. Another choice for this type of meditation is the rising and falling of the abdomen. The meditator will let his mind sink down into the movement of the abdomen and rest there peacefully. In walking meditation, those who hold their focus on the feet are also exhibiting this first type of samadhi. It is also accomplished if we use our hands as our object of meditation, moving them in prescribed ways and focusing on them intently. This first type of samadhi, object examination, is accomplished during calmness meditation, otherwise known as samatha meditation. Even using the mind itself as the object of meditation can bring us into this type of samadhi. Watching the mind isn't always vipassana. If we watch the mind incorrectly and hold it still, we are just doing samatha. It is the same as intently keeping our mindfulness on the breath. The mind is of the nature to know an object. The object is that which is of the nature to be known. So if we watch the breath, The breath is the object. The breath is what is known. If we watch the body standing, walking, sitting, and lying down, the body is the object. The body is what is known. Greed, anger, and delusion are things that are known. The mind is what knows these things. The mind itself can be both known and that which knows, but it is not both at the same time. Everything happens in succession. The process can only be described as a succession of minds or mental moments. At one mental moment, the mind is angry. In the next moment, the mind knows this. The mind that is angry is gone and replaced by the mind that knows. The mind is the one that knows all five of the khandhas or aggregates. When the mind itself is known, it is functioning as the object. No matter what the object of meditation may be, if we are focusing in on it, we are practicing samatha and will achieve the first kind of samadhi. If we are looking to practice vipassana meditation, then we need to learn about the second kind of samadhi. It is called characteristic examination. This samadhi is one that is stable in the sense that it remains separate from phenomena. It allows us to see the true characteristics of body and mind, of mental and physical phenomena, or rupa nama. We may see the body is not us, but just matter, or the workings of elements, or just processes of sensory input and interpretation. In the second type of samadhi, the mind is the stable and unattached watcher or knower. The term the knower was a very common one in the Thai forest monk tradition for many years, and this is the samadhi I am speaking about here. 20 or 30 years ago, there was an abundance of great masters in the Northeast using this term, the knower. We could travel from temple to temple and pay our respects to these wise elderly teachers. But as the number of genuine masters decreased, the comprehension of the knower also followed suit. The kind of samadhi where the knower arises is essential for seeing the truth, seeing the three characteristics. The knower is the colloquial term for the concentration of the characteristic examination variety. It is the place from where we can practice vipassana. In a few moments, I will describe how we can practice so that the knower can arise. When we practice meditation, it is important to know which kind of samadhi is appropriate for us at any given time. If the mind is very restless and needs to be in a more peaceful and restful state, we can practice samatha to achieve object examination. The mind in this state is attaching to an object of meditation and not wandering elsewhere. It is peaceful and staying with the object without force. If we are still forcing, then it is not genuine concentration of this kind. The mind is not happy when we are forcing it. We need the mind to be relaxed and happy with its object of meditation. We can choose any object of meditation within the body and mind. Breathing, the abdomen, a mantra like Budo, hand movements or foot movements when walking, but we must pick something that we are happy to be with. If the mind is happy while being with the object, then it won't run off looking to do something else. It doesn't need to be forced because it is happy where it is. If the mind is restlessly thinking and we try to force it still, it will become even more restless. Notice that when we try to be peaceful and the mind won't oblige, we get even more agitated and stressed than we were at the start. The more we want to be peaceful, often the less peaceful we become. Therefore, we need to find a happy place for the mind for this kind of samadhi to be achieved. When I was young, I was very happy watching the breath, and so I would watch it each day. The reason why the mind runs around looking for this and that is because it is incessantly looking for happiness. Our decision to listen to or to read this Dhamma talk is because we are looking for happiness. After we finish listening or reading, we may look for something tasty to eat, to once again be in pursuit of happiness. Then after we eat and feel full, we think that we will be happier if we take a rest. The mind and the body are running around looking for objects to bring happiness constantly. However, if the mind is happy with the object it is involved with already, then it will not go off looking for something else. This is the secret to proper samatha meditation. This is how we can stop the busy mind and have a restful time of peace. Samatha has an important purpose. We need it to rest the mind so it can have power and fortitude. If we don't practice samatha and achieve the first kind of samadhi, our vipassana practice will be greatly hindered. We won't have the fortitude and momentum to keep up the practice. Those of us that watch the mind well will see that the mind cannot walk the path of wisdom all the time. It will need to rest. The mind will move into samatha automatically at times, staying still in one place. In fact, it does this even more often than vipassana. Wisdom comes up just for a short while at a time, and then the mind becomes still again. A word of warning to those that prefer to watch the mind: make sure you keep up samatha practice as well. It is essential in order to keep the mind fresh and powerful enough to walk the path of wisdom well. Those without the first kind of samadhi will have trouble doing vipassana for longer periods. Wisdom may arise briefly, and then the mind will go off on a thinking tangent. Those that are too attached to samatha should be careful too. The mind may be resting well for a while, but then go off into dazes or dream states. I spent 22 years as a youngster practicing only samatha and happily being with the breath. When the mind was busy, I would meditate on the breath for a while and make the mind peaceful. I knew nothing of the knower and was just looking for peace. Then I started going to temples and frequently heard the term the knower and became interested in the path of wisdom. The knower is the mind that knows. The object is that which the mind is knowing. When we are watching an object, know when the mind has gone off to think. Know the body is breathing or the body is moving, and then know when the mind has strayed from knowing the chosen object.
Keep knowing the object,
and then know when the mind sinks into the object or when it moves to something else. If we watch the movement of the arm, know the arm is moving. When the mind moves in towards the arm, as in samatha, know that it is doing this. When the mind moves off to think, know this too. If we continuously are able to notice on time when the mind is moving towards the object to focus in on it, or away from the object to get lost in something else, then the mind will become the knower, or the watcher. It will separate out as the one who knows, the awakened and joyful one. It is the opposite of the one who is lost, infatuated, or entranced. The lost one is the thinker, deluded and entranced in a fabricated reality. We need to learn to be the watcher or the knower and rise above the thinker and the world of fabrication. The knower, samadhi of the second kind, arises when we practice meditation as I have described. When it arises, it does so with either happiness or equanimity. We cannot intend for the knower to arise. It arises of its own accord when the mind has enough fortitude. The idea about fortitude can be illustrated in the case of someone who is perpetually bad. Such a person doesn't need to intend to do bad things because he is bad already. The badness has fortitude and momentum. Thus, unseemly acts are committed effortlessly, without prompting. Good people do good things with ease as well. Many of us can notice that our minds naturally want to read or listen to the Dhamma without any prompting. Similarly, the knower arises unprompted out of the fortitude of our practice. We must practice to wake our minds up out of the world of thought and fabrication. The thinker opposes the knower. When we are not knowing, we are thinking, interpreting, and fabricating. Our practice is to simply know whenever the mind leaves the object of our attention. Notice when it goes out to think, see, hear, smell, taste, or feel. Notice when it sinks down to cling into a meditation object as well. If we do this repeatedly, we will reach the second kind of samadhi, characteristic examination, and the mind will be in the appropriate state to practice vipassana. For both kinds of samadhi, the principles are quite easy. In the first kind, choose an object in the body or mind that we are happy with. When the mind is happy, it will stay concentrated and have no need to look for happiness elsewhere. In the second kind, we watch a meditation object and notice whenever the mind goes away from or towards it, instead of just knowing it. Let's take the example of the mantra Buddho as our meditation object. We could just as easily choose the breath, the body, or a part thereof. For the first kind of samadhi, we practice samatha. We happily keep our attention on the repeated word Buddho, Buddho. The mind eventually stays with and clings to Buddho. It becomes still and peaceful. If we are practicing the second kind of samadhi, we keep the mind on Buddho just the same, but our perspective is different. Instead of saying Buddho to become calm and still, our objective is to recognize each time the mind has left Buddho and recognize each time the mind overfocuses on it. The knower will arise and can walk the path of vipassana wisdom. It will watch mental and physical phenomena passing by from a distance, and it will do so with impartiality. It is as if we are standing on the riverbank and watching the water flow downstream. I often like to summarize the correct practice in the following way. Have mindfulness and know bodily and mental phenomena as they really are, with a mind that is stable and impartial. Firstly, we need to have mindfulness recognizing what arises in the body and mind. Then, to know bodily and mental phenomena as they really are means that wisdom sees their true three characteristics. In order to have the wisdom that sees the three characteristics, the mind must be stable and impartial to phenomena. The knower, the awakened one that I spoke of, is the one that is stable. By stability, I mean the mind remains rooted in awareness. It is not attached to phenomena and doesn't slip down into them. It also doesn't get lost in liking or disliking what arises. It is impartial, unbiased, equanimous. Keep practicing to develop mindfulness, develop samadhi, and develop wisdom. If any of us find what I say difficult to understand, then read and listen to what I say again and again. Many people have seen how much their lives have changed for the better once they correctly understand the principles of meditation. Can we notice that the mind prefers to think than to know? And when it wants to know, it then sinks down and overfocuses. Keep watching in the ways I describe and our practice will flourish. We will become very sharp at distinguishing what kind of samadhi to practice at any given time. We will know when our mind should be made peaceful and when it is suitable for walking the path of wisdom. This is all not as hard as we may think. I have explained Dhamma practice in great detail. Now let's put the teachings to work.